Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us this afternoon. We are talking cattle, cattle structure, cattle packing, feeders, right on down the list. With Chris Swift, Swift Trading Company. First, Davis, before we get back to Chris, let's go ahead and recap where the market's closed.
Well, Chip, July HRW wheat futures were 9¾ cents higher, 8.12¼. July SRW wheat up 8¼ to 6.19. July corn futures were 16½ cents higher at 6.09. December corn futures closed at 5.41¼, up 11¼ cents. July soybean futures 23 cents higher, 13.52½. November beans closed at 11.83¾, up 14¾ cents. December cotton 27 points higher, 81.85. Chip, by the way, beef export sales 18,000 metric tons, about steady with the 4-week average. June fed cattle 1.52½ higher, 176.42½. August feeder futures up 25 cents to 241.90. On the snout side, pork exports totaled 22,600 metric tons, off by more than one-third from the 4-week average. June lean hog futures $3.17½ higher at 86.72½. That's your quick market recap. Back over to you, Chip.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Chris Swift, Swift Trading Company. Man, you had me hustling during the break there, Chris, with some thoughts that I wanted to pull together.
All right.
We've talked about the adjustments that have been made by different segments, packers, some feeders. How does this all shake out? I'm going to put a timeline on it. We're getting grass back, okay? Rains are becoming more frequent in range country. What do you think this market looks like a year from now?
Probably about the same as what it does right now. The rains that are coming now will do great for grazers, but it's not going to be good for hay production. Hay production this year will be very limited. In some regions, it'll be great. Here in the southeast, we probably couldn't ask for much better, but it's been cool here. We had some cool nights, and our first cutting of hay wasn't the best that we've had, a little bit short stalk. So hay production is the biggest thing. So we go another 12 months. And if we just say today was the day where we started expansion, impregnate this heifer, get it born, get it on the ground for 2½, maybe 3 years from that being an actual expansion. The way the cow slaughter and heifer retention has been, we are still in liquidation. Although it is slowing, we're still liquidating. So first thing we have to do is stop liquidation. I think that comes with improved pasture and hay production mostly. And then we come up from there and we find out what is the consumer going to do after that. And then we look at, you know, from the cow-calf producer, if they have hay, if they have it, what's the money like now? What's the economy like? And can we actually expand to those limits? Every week I see more and more issues with either the water, any kind of EPA situation. We're seeing this over and over again. So the battles that will have to be fought in the future, somebody has to start today preparing for those, because they're not going to stop. They're just like every industry out there. There is an opponent that doesn't like it, and beef is no different. We have opponents that do not like it, and they are trying very, very hard to stop some of these things. So we have to be even harder and stronger to be able to resist those factors.
Right, right. The last thing I would anticipate a year from now is that there is enough beef for every hook in capacity. But how much, and if this is insignificant, just tell me, okay? But how much of a gap can beef from dairy help fill?
A huge amount. So what I'm under the impression of is that there is a cross between an Angus and a Holstein that is producing a very high-quality beef cow. Mm-hmm. So I believe that it will make a significant impact along with a couple of other things. the simple genetics of the cow herd, the beef cow herd now is so good that when we become, as the industry says, we want cattle to be bigger. We know we're never going to have more numbers, so let's grow them bigger. Then you begin to see more cow-calf producers wean away from the more considered commercial cattle and get into the breeds or the bloodlines that will produce the larger carcasses that are desired now by the packer. So we increase the carcass size. We probably are going to import more beef. If you think about the restaurants and what they do, and something we just saw one of the poultry producers do, they shipped in soybeans from Brazil. What is to say any of our restaurants or our chain restaurants who are looking at nothing but a profit margin, they could care less what a cow looks like. They look like profit margin. If they can bring that lean meat in from South America or Australia or New Zealand and mix it with U.S. fat and serve it in a McDonald's or a Wendy's or Burger King wrapper, no consumer is going to know the difference, except that they can afford it. It's cheaper to them. So what we're thinking about is, like in every industry, when things become tight, how do we circumvent that? There's not an industry out there that has not gone through similar situations. Look at lumber, what lumber did forever. Lumber kept getting more and more expensive, and they began with different materials. They began experimenting with different materials that eventually brought the price of lumber down. Now, I'm excluding the 2020, you know, blow up where it went to $800, but that's what happened in lumber, and other markets have done the same thing. So we've got a really high price. We don't want to kill demand to the consumer, so we try to circumvent things. We cut the meat differently. We blend it a little bit differently. We do things out there that will help to keep the consumer demand up there.
Okay. All right. Excellent, Chris. Answer this one for me quickly, because I've got some risk management things that I want to get to you. But we got a question in on email. Is it possible to feed substantial amounts of Canadian feeders as we used to do pre-BSE? Feed cost, transportation, differences in feed efficiencies have to be an issue in the overall economics.
Yes and no. Yes, we could do it. No, because their herd is smaller than it has been. They've had no increases in their herd size, and it's extremely small in comparison to ours. I don't think we could pull enough cattle from Mexico or Canada to make a big enough difference. It won't hurt anything, but it's probably not going to help anything either.
Okay. All right. So dairy, the beef calves from dairy is really one of the one of the new sources of feeders for the market. Interesting. You know, and I've been looking into it quite a bit, Chris. It's not just that Angus Holstein cross, even though that does put a very Angus-looking calf in the feed yard. Some of the Charolais crosses on those dairy breeds are making killer carcasses. Really, really impressive. Okay. Let's manage some risk. Start with that cow-calf producer. What can they do to capture the price but not the basis?
Right now, there is not a lot without forward contracting or being involved in vertical integration. Being involved in vertical integration is a double-edged sword, as most everyone knows, and it just depends on how your operation is set up as to whether or not you desire to grow the kind of cattle that a packer wants, and they pay you premium for that, or do you want to be able to take whatever the market gives you with whatever you're producing? So again, I think the industry is going to dictate the direction, and larger carcasses probably being the biggest thing to try to achieve just sends the message out. So I will give you the example of less than 3 years ago, a packer would discount you for bringing an animal in over 1,350 pounds. We don't want that. Don't bring it to us. It drags the ground.
Yep.
COVID hits, things shut down. The packing plant then increases the capacity to handle larger carcass weights. And now at 1,350, they say, can't you grow them any bigger than that?
Right.
So we've had a change in that. So clearly that is passed down to the producer. And within less than 2 years, we have now quite a few of these Holstein Angus and other breed crosses in there that were of no desire to anyone 3 years ago.
Right.
So things change very slowly in this industry. Everything does. And the unfortunate of it is right now it's really famine in the cattle side of it. It's feast in the dollar side of it. And the next aspect of what we're looking for is we want to increase production. And then that increase in production will most likely create a lower price.
Yeah. Okay. The background right now, are they sitting in the sweet spot?
They are in the catbird seat. They have two things for them. They have the cash market moving higher. They have desirable bids from the cattle feeders all still wanting to be in business. And if nobody likes this price, hold them 30 more days, or excuse me, 90 more days and sell them for $35 to $40 higher in the future.
Yep.
Okay. It's just incredible that they are offered this. And again, because we have dealt with this over and over again, margin requirements are phenomenal when markets are moving in this kind of price width. Make sure that you have your lender on board and make sure that you manage both risks, the risks of price fluctuation in the hedge as well as in your cash side. So do things. There's all kinds of derivatives available to you, LRPs, futures, options. You can get any kind of strategy that you want that will manage the risk of the futures or options or hedge position as well as the cash too. You just got to do some homework, and that's the thing that I would encourage producers to do the most is to learn something new. Learn something new about marketing. These are extremely volatile prices right now, going up and down with very wide price expanses, and heaven forbid a black swan flies over. But just the normal aspect, forget that, you can't hedge against that, but the normal aspect of industries like to make money. And only
Chris, you've never been better. Thank you, buddy.